Hi, this is John Bartlett, co-host of the Shofar Ministries Hour, and I want to tell you about Mullet Masonry. Working with either brick, block, or stone, their work is impeccable, earning them a great reputation. They service residential, like chimneys and restorations, as well as the bigger commercial-type jobs. They're located in Geauga County, but will service any of the surrounding areas. They're experienced, they do great work, they're affordable, and they're very nice as well. Need a free estimate? Call Chad Mullet at 216-570-0177. That's 570-0177. Give them a try next time you need any facet of masonry work. After all, Mullet Masonry helps to keep Shofar Ministries on the air. So be sure to tell Chad you heard about him right here on WHKW Christian Radio. Welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and Shabbat Shalom to all of you who are listening live as well as on the World Wide Web, WHKWradio.com. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host today, with our Bible teacher and shofar blower, Sheila Crawford. And I just had to say that because that opening shofar is you.
I did it, yes.
And you did it on first take. Well, anyway, she just loves to share with you the biblical gold nuggets, especially about the end times. And as a reminder, you can re-listen to the show later this week at shofarministries.net. So you can listen to it on the Internet. Before we get going, we're going to ask God for his blessing on this program, as well as to all the listeners who have set aside their current undertakings to learn from the Word of God. Father, we thank you for your Shabbat today. We thank you for the opportunity to minister to your people, the people who you love and you have saved, and also those that are not saved. We just thank you for this blessed opportunity. I want to lift up all those who send in prayer requests, that you would honor the faith of these individuals that look to you for their healing in all manners of and not diseases, but some are suffering from pain, some are suffering from just bad circumstances in their life. And I know that you care about us as if we were your only child, but you care for us, all of us, in that same way. And we want to thank you for that in Jesus' name, the wonderful love of God that we have for you. Open our ears and open our eyes as we learn from your word today. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thank you, John, and Shabbat Shalom to you. Baruch atah Hashem Adonai, blessed be the name of the Lord. And, you know, we want to do a quick shout-out to a guy named Craig. I guess he was trying to get a hold of me this week, and I'm not sure why he couldn't, but you didn't leave your phone number when you left a message here at the station, so feel free to call us back. Hopefully, you will.
Yeah. Keep trying.
Right. Yeah. And the last few weeks, we have been exegesing.
Well, that's a good word. Exegesing the rapture. Is it before, during, or after the tribulation?
Questions, well, questions. If you have heard my teachings before, you know, out there listeners, that John and I believe in a pre-trib rapture. And still on today's program, we're going to continue to do a little more debunking the critics of that stance.
Great. But first, let me remind you, later we will open the lines for your end time question, and please limit it to one question. Or you can, if you have a question, just email Sheila, and she will answer it on next week's program. She'll do the homework, and all you have to do is email her at sheila@shofarministries.net, and check out the calendar webpage, where all our events are posted, or you may call Sheila as well and leave a detailed message, and she will be sure to get back to you.
Right, and I just want to also tell the listeners that this Wednesday I will be speaking at the Chester Christian Center at 11815, that's 11815 Chillicothe Road in Chesterland, Ohio, at 7 o'clock. So We'll be talking about the end times. Bring your end time questions with you. It's open forum. We have a really good time.
11815 Chillicothe.
Yes.
Ah, that's Route 306.
That's Route 306.
Yes, okay.
Okay. All right. Let me just talk a little bit about the news. I don't want to spend a lot of time on that because we could do a whole program on what's going on in the news. Gosh, that oil spill that's heading towards the Gulf and more tornadoes and nothing good anymore. But we like to concentrate on what's going on with Israel, of course. And Ahmadinejad, who is the president of Iran, is continuing to do hate speech against Israel, says that they will be annihilated and that all our aggressions is not going to stop it, and calls them the most criminal regime in the world, he does. But the Palestinians and the nations of the Middle East will be rid of a bad omen, he says, once Israel is annihilated. He says they've reached the end of its road. And this, of course, falls in line with Bible prophecy. And we've got two big ones, actually, Psalm 83 and Ezekiel 38, which is the War of Gog and Magog, when Iran teams up with Russia and others to attack Israel, and they will. And we've talked about this a little bit before, and I think maybe next week I'll go into a little bit more detail about these two wars. Psalm 83 is interesting because it doesn't say anywhere in the whole psalm that it's in that day. And if you, again, heard my teachings, you know that means it hasn't happened yet and will happen during the tribulation. And it's not going to happen during the tribulation because it doesn't say in that day is what I mean.
Okay.
But Ezekiel 38 does.
That's a little rule we got to remember there. If you don't see in that day or in the day, you can assume and be reasonably sure that it's not going to be during the tribulation. Right? Is that what we're saying here?
If it says in that day,
yes,
it will be.
It will be. But if it doesn't, if there's a and it's prophecy.
Yes.
Then,
now that we have everyone confused on that. When you read Psalm 83 too, Psalm 83, you will notice that the enemies of Israel have different names.
Mm-hmm.
They're different in details, where Ezekiel 38 is more further away enemies. So I'm thinking Psalm 83 is going to happen pretty soon.
Okay. So Psalm 83 is talking about the enemies that are actually their close neighbors.
Neighboring. Yeah. Palestinians, Hamas, Hezbollah.
Okay.
You know, and then we also have the scripture in Isaiah 17:1, that says Damascus will become a heap of ruins.
So the Ezekiel 38 conflict, which is going to involve larger countries.
Russia.
And from farther
Turkey.
Away, Turkey, and things like that. What were you saying
about
watching Turkey earlier?
Yeah.
You were told by a pastor that if you want to know what's going to happen, you know, with the end times and stuff, watch Turkey.
Yes, he did.
And that was like 15 years ago.
What was at least 15 years ago when he said that right now Turkey was an ally of Israel, and they were.
Yeah.
And that's mainly because they wanted to get into the EU, and they couldn't be accepted into the EU unless they were good friends with their neighboring countries.
Ah.
So they had to be good friends with Israel, and they were. They shared water and all that kind of stuff. And I remember this man telling me, telling the whole group that watch Turkey, because when Turkey turns away from Israel, then you can know that we're real close to the end. And, of course, in the last year they have.
Uh-huh.
Now they are allying themselves with the Muslim countries again and turning their backs on Israel. Pretty amazing. It's fun to watch all this stuff, of course. But I believe the War of Gog and Magog will be after the Antichrist signs a peace agreement because it says they will be dwelling safely. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, and it also says in verses 10 and 14 that it'll be in that day. So,
okay.
But we're going to go over that a little bit more next time, I think. We'll get into a little more details on these two major wars.
Wow.
Okay?
So we are close.
Well, when you know
appearing.
This stuff and,
yes.
and you know that all these things are coming together, you know it's got to be soon, the rapture.
It's got to be soon.
You know, and I am so glad that I believe that there is a pre-trib rapture. I would be very depressed, I think, if I didn't have the comfort of knowing that we won't see the worst part. We'll see some, but not the worst.
Well.
So, anyway. Let's get into today's program because we know how fast time goes.
Yes.
And, oh, gosh, I think we started the rapture thing about 3 weeks ago, didn't we?
Yes.
And we discussed some of the scriptures that people use
mm-hmm.
wrongly
right.
to say we're going to be here for the tribulation. So we totally covered Matthew 24, 29 through 31. And by the way, John, just last week, Wednesday night on TBN, there was a man, I think his name was Ern Baxter.
Mm-hmm.
He happens to think we're going to be here through the tribulation. And they says, well, what do you base it on? And the very first scripture that he used was Matthew 24, 29 through 31. And it was amazing to me because I'm sure he's had to see how that can't be. I don't know. Anyway, so I was so glad that we had already covered that, and I thought anyone that might have been listening to the TBN show that night would say, oh, no, that's because blah, blah, blah.
But, oh, and so, and I can't continue.
Well, what was interesting is that there was another man, Joe Vancouvering, right afterwards that explained exactly what I had said on this show.
Oh.
And, you know, and then Irv didn't say anything, so.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, we've covered that.
We've
and I,
covered that.
Yeah. Also, the same person as well used how the last trump is the seventh trump of Revelation, the other thing that we also addressed.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I hope out there that those of you that are listening are really learning, because if God knows that you know these things, he will send these people to you so that you can help them understand.
Yes.
Okay? So, again, if you forget what I've said, you can always go to my webpage.
It's good to be able to discern not just good and evil that we learn to discern when we get into the meat of the word, but it's also good to discern the signs of the times so we know where we're at.
Oh, yes.
You know we can look at the sky and it looks kind of cloudy out there and the wind, is starting to pick up. We know, hey, it's probably going to rain. But we're seeing all these signs come together. We know. Hey,
this is good.
This is at the door. Okay.
And remember, Paul? He said, "I don't want you to be ignorant concerning the end times."
Yes.
You know, he doesn't. Anyway.
We're not supposed to be ignorant.
Oh, and then the other thing is, he used the elect also. He said, "See, it says right here that the elect will be here for the tribulation." I mean, it was exactly what we had covered on the radio show.
Oh.
And I was just amazed. Anyway, I thought maybe they'd come up with some new things by now. But anyway.
And you did explain what the last day.
And I've also explained what the last day, of course, really means in John 6 and John 11.
And this all makes so much sense when you put it in the perspective of the whole counsel of God.
You know, that's the key.
Yeah.
You really need the
whole
Bible.
Counsel
you cannot in any way, shape, or form take a verse here and there and build anything on it. You can't do it. Because prophecy is, remember that big puzzle?
Yes.
And the pieces have to fit.
Yes.
Okay. So anyway, Acts 20:27 impels us to take the whole counsel of God. And again, Paul warned them that there would be some that would come up from among you. That means amongst us, okay, Christians, speaking misleading things to draw away from the truths you were taught. Now, I'll admit, not all are doing it. I mean, they don't know, I guess, what they're doing, maybe. I can't imagine them doing it on purpose to draw us away. But it's happening. And then last week we further established the fact that writings have been found from early century forefathers like Ephraim, that there has always been a remnant. I think that's one thing that we've established. There's always been at least a small group, and still today, who has taught on the pre-trib rapture, where critics say it did not happen until 1830 with a schoolgirl's dream.
Mm-hmm.
Not. Now, I'll admit, probably God gave this dream to this girl during the revival days of 1830 so it could be taught again so that the people would have comfort in knowing this, because it had been lost during the Dark Ages, just as our Jewish roots were lost to the Christians who were originally Jewish. And it's true with the Jews today. Most of them are missing, you know, their first century heritage due to the Dark Ages. In fact, at Shofar Assembly, we have helped a few Jewish believers in Jesus learn their roots as well, because they don't know it. They've listened to their father or their grandfather or whatever. But, again, much changed during the Dark Ages, and a lot of it was due to the destruction of the temple, of course. You know, they had to invent new ways to cover their sins because they didn't, you know, believe in the Messiah.
If I could, I'd like to suggest to the listeners, if you missed these previous programs, to go to our website, shofarministries.net to get these detailed teachings. Our apologies this week for a minor interruption in our server, but it is now up and running as we are told.
Yes, it is now running.
For now, it is up and running. So.
Amen. So let's continue on today's program to expose and debunk a definite fallacy that I believe is very sad, and it's infiltrating the body of Christ, that we're going to be here for the tribulation or any part of it. That's just not true. And by the way, I guess I can understand how easy it is to accept what especially someone maybe on TV with a big name and lots of money who does a lot of good deeds, having eloquence of words. You know, he talks on the end times, and it is a subject that I guess is difficult for some to comprehend. It doesn't help when you have, you know, people saying all different kinds of things, which is sad because Jesus said, I wish that you could remain as one in doctrine.
Yes.
You know,
mm-hmm.
But there was one time, I have to admit, I just would believe what someone told me because, well, they had to know. They were so smart, and they were on TV, and all that stuff. And I think at one point I said, well, I'm just going to be a pan tribber and leave it at that.
What's a pan tribber?
I'm sure you've heard this before, but a pan tribber. In fact, TBN guy Crouch,
yes.
He said it Wednesday night. He said, well, I'm just going to be a pan tribber. It'll all pan out in the end.
But, you know, that is, you know, that's dangerous.
Yeah.
You know.
It is dangerous. And do you want to know why it's dangerous, John?
Yeah, I was hoping it is dangerous, and I guess we should give you some good reasons why it would be.
Of course.
Yes.
And I'm willing and able to
yes.
do that.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, if you just ignore prophecy, you're going to study less.
That's
you're going to stay on the milk of the word.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because prophecy makes you dig. And by the way, God says he has a right for his glory to conceal things. You see, that's what he likes to do. He conceals things so that you will have to dig deeper to find them. Proverbs 25:2, I think.
Yeah, Proverbs 25:2 says, God gets glory from concealing things. Kings get glory from investigating things.
That's right. And are we kings and priests today?
Yes, we are.
I bet you we are. So when we spend more time, we also get more of the armor of God. You can't just get up in the morning and pray your armor on. Please, don't think that's what does it. I hear that so often. I get up in the morning and I pray my armor on first before I do anything else.
Well, yeah.
The armor shouldn't be off during the night, believe me.
Night.
That's not a good time to have it off.
So you're saying that that's not too effective.
No. You have to stay in your word. And I'm a firm believer that tithing your time, just like we tithe our funds to the gospel, we have to tithe our time in God's word.
Hmm.
I came up with that many, many, many years ago, thought it, and then someone else confirmed it, and I just believe it was the Lord. Because people say, well, how much time do you have to spend? Tithe your time. I mean, what's wrong with that? 10% of your time?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in God's word?
Yeah, 24 hours, that's 2.4 hours.
Yeah, right? An hour in the morning, hour at night, maybe a little bit at lunchtime. That's
yeah.
not a lot.
Yeah.
It's not
a lot.
No. And again, more Jesus. When you study the word, because he is the word. So not only are you getting all your armor on, you're getting more of Jesus, and you're getting more of the Holy Spirit, and that's going to give you the power. Without power, you are not going to witness.
True.
You're just not going to.
It's true.
Maybe if someone jumps in front of you and says, how do I get saved? You know? But that doesn't happen very often.
Forces you at gunpoint to tell him how do I get saved?
Yeah. And prophecy makes it fun. If you're going to tithe your time in God's word, you need prophecy because it's going to take you all over through the word from back to front and all that good stuff.
So what is this wait and see attitude? Does that mean we're just, is that kind of lazy to think?
Oh, yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
You know,
we'll just wait
you know,
see.
I'm saved, so we'll find out, you know. But I don't think it stirs you up enough to tell people what's going to happen really soon.
Yeah.
You know, that's the problem. And let's face it, everyone that's listening to me right now, if you had to answer this question on a scale of 0 to 10, what number would you give yourself right now as to what number you are as a Christian, and take into account the time you spend in God's Word. What number could you give yourself? Well, I've asked that to a lot of people, and it's usually a 6,
mm-hmm.
you know. And they'll say, well, I don't want to be out of balance, of course, so I'm right in the middle. And, of course, what do? I give them Revelation 3:15 that says, if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want lukewarm. He can't use you if you're lukewarm. He'd rather you be cold, because then he could do something really dramatic in your life, because you know that you're cold, and bring it to a 10.
Yes.
So, anyway, I spent a lot of time on that. But the other thing is, don't forget that special blessing in Revelation 1:3. And again in chapter 22, it goes to those who study end time prophecy, because Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Revelation 19:10.
Yes.
And we have to remember about the special reward, too.
So you're going to get to know your Savior better by getting to know prophecy better.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And getting to know your Savior is going to draw you closer to God.
That's right, and it gives you a desire.
And that's when your desire comes, and then you'll be wanting to read more and to study more.
I mean, I just love to study. You know that.
I know
you
do.
I just wish I had more time. But anyway, but the Bible is clear also, there's that special reward, a crown just for those who are looking for him. That's prophecy.
Yes.
When you're looking for him, that's the study of prophecy. 2 Timothy 4:8 says there's a special reward just for that. Which is why they've always looked for Christ to return. That was the way it was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they always did. And they got a special crown when they did. Now, the advantages of living during these days is because we can look back and see all the signs now coming together. You know, and they weren't always aware of all that, like Israel had to be back into the nation after being...
scattered and brought back.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
We can see that now, and we are that generation that's seen Israel come back into the nation and be a state. We're that generation, you know?
Yes,
so
that's exciting.
We're
we almost thought this last Passover that we were the generation to see the reinstitution of the Passover sacrifice by the Levitical priesthood. We thought we were going to see that this last Passover, mm-hmm. but it was stopped by the court.
Just shows you how close they're getting.
But can happen any time.
That's right. And, of course, the other thing is, the other important reason is that it taints the rest of prophecy if you think that you're still going to be here during the wrath of Jacob's trouble, which is really Israel's trouble, because that's what Daniel 70th week is all about.
So you're saying you'll have trouble understanding other prophecy.
Well, sure you will.
If you get this wrong.
If you think we're going to be here.
Okay, so it's back to that puzzle. This piece is not fitting.
And why is the 144,000 called the first fruits? Because they're the first fruits they could save during that period of time, because we're gone.
Okay.
You know? It can't be called the first fruits when we're still here. Anyway, that's a whole nother ballgame. but because you'll get confused with all the different views, and because of that, you'll avoid it. Call yourself a pan-tribber. And we see that from the majority of pulpits.
Yes.
Today, they are avoiding it like the plague.
Because they don't want to teach something that they themselves don't understand.
Why don't they want to? Because they don't search it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, they don't have
to. They want to just be able to take it from somebody else, and they realize that you can't do that because there's so many different views. You have to study it yourself, and it's going to take time. Which is why I believe that all churches should have their deacons that takes care of most of the everyday type of things, like going visiting the sick and all that. And the pastor, he should be devoting his time into the Word of God, a big portion of it. That should be what his duties are.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but I'll
beautiful
tell you how
picture.
Many times, because I used to be assistant pastor, and I was always the one that went up and visited and stuff, and people said, well, I want the pastor. I want the real pastor. And I'm thinking, you know what? He's studying so that he can teach the body of Christ.
There you go. And so how about that?
But everybody wants the pastor to come up if they're sick, you know? I don't know. Yeah. Anyway.
They must be really sick then.
Right. So anyway, you need to search yourselves and take it literally and get a little knowledge of the times in which it was written. That's very important.
Oh, yeah.
And the customs that Jesus did and he fulfilled. And again, that's what Shofar Ministries is all about.
Unlocking the key to prophecy by understanding first century Hebrew roots.
That's right. And we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about one of the other items that he did mention about the resurrection, what I think we should clear up. So when we come back, okay, we're going to talk about the resurrection.
We will do that. The lines will be open when we come back. If you have a question, particularly on the end time scenario that we're discussing today, the numbers are 216-901-0933 or 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. And since we cover such a big area on Christian Radio, we would both like to visit you at your church for an evening of Messianic worship and a timely message. So ask your pastor and ask him to give us a call, 440-834-9006. I would also like to add that Shofar Ministries is a non-denominational 501c3, and all your gifts are tax deductible, and donations are really needed to stay on the air. So really, folks, if you like this forum with solid Bible teaching, please send your donations to P.O. Box 513 in Burton, 44021, or you may give through shofarministries.net and use PayPal as well, and you can purchase the teachings on DVDs, especially Spring Feasts, for a donation of only $15.
Per. But we really do need your help out there to stay on the air. You know, we're coming up on a year, John. This month, actually. And God has been faithful to provide, but we need a little more.
Yes, so. We do. We'd like to keep going. We'd like to keep this wonderful Bible study. Once again, those numbers for your end time questions, 216-901-0933 or 888-677-WORD. Stay with us now. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and we'll be right back after a short break and a great song by one of my favorites, Johnny Cash.
We do like him, don't we? Yes, because we do. You sound like him.
Yeah, I've been told that. The song is called Personal Jesus. So
right.
Stay with us.
Stay with us. Okay, so let me ask you, how many times have you ever been asked if you knew a good Christian attorney? Well, now you have an answer. A legal representative for over 35 years, Dennis Kastelek of Chardon, Ohio, has a great reputation for honesty and integrity and is now a sponsor of the Shofar Ministries Hour. So if you still need to get that will, need financial counseling, or any legal matter, give Dennis a call at 440-285-3511. That's 440-285-3511.
Mouth-watering soul food and southern cuisine is just a click away. Head to WHKWradio.com and check out the Super Salem Savers section, where you can get a $50 gift certificate for just $15 to Heart and Soul Restaurant, your place for good times and great food. Heart and Soul is a neighborhood favorite, offering a casual, friendly dining experience for the whole family. Heart and Soul Restaurant is open from breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and offers all your favorite comfort foods. From sandwiches, seafood, and burgers, to pasta with homemade sauces, you are sure to come back for more. And don't forget to make the meal complete with sweet potato chips, cinnamon apples, or delicious potato pancakes. Heart and Soul Restaurant is located at 30330 Euclid Avenue in Wicklow. Fill your stomach without emptying your wallet. Get your $50 gift certificate to Heart and Soul Restaurant right now for only $15 by going to the Super Salem Savers section at WHKWradio.com.
Does your basement or crawl space have a damp, musty smell? A dehumidifier may not solve your problem. That's because a dehumidifier won't expel the molds and gases that make the area unlivable. And a dehumidifier could cost you up to $60 a month in energy. But now there's an affordable way for you to remove moisture and harmful pollutants from your home. It's with the Wave Ventilation Unit. With Wave, there are no buckets to empty, no filters, and Wave could save you over $500 a year in energy costs. One customer writes, "The difference was remarkable. The air was dry and pleasant, and the allergy sufferers in the family felt better. The change was instantaneous." With Wave, you can have a dry, healthy home and save thousands, guaranteed. Find out more about Wave Moisture Control. Visit FreshDryHome.com for free information. That's FreshDryHome.com. Or call now, 1-866-324-9483. That's 1-866-324-9483.
Your own personal Jesus, someone to hear your prayers, someone who cares. Your own personal Jesus, someone to hear your prayers, someone who's there. Feeling unknown and you're all alone, flesh and bone, by the telephone. Lift up the receiver, I'll make you a believer. Take second best, put me to the test. Things on your chest, you need to confess. I will deliver, you know I'm a forgiver. Reach out and touch faith. Reach out and touch faith. Your own personal Jesus. Someone to hear your prayers. Someone who cares. Your own personal Jesus, someone to hear your prayers, someone to care. Feeling unknown and you're all alone, flesh and bone, by the telephone. Lift up the receiver, I'll make you a believer. I will deliver, you know I'm a forgiver. Reach out and touch faith. Reach out and touch faith. Reach out and touch faith. Reach out and touch faith.
Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour and that song by Johnny Cash, Your Personal Jesus. And I hope that you all have a personal Jesus out there.
That's our hope for you today.
That's right. You know what? I've got to ask again this week. John, do you love children?
You ask me that every week?
Of course
I love children.
Especially little babies.
Yes, little babies too.
Yeah, we have a new little baby in our family.
Yes.
Only a week old today. So sweet. Anyway, I have a friend named Beth, and she's a listener of this program, who is a mother of five, grandmother of three, and has recently attended the Alexandria School for Nannies and is now certified as a newborn care specialist. And she enjoyed her education so much, she is now enrolled in their accelerated program for nannies. So if you would like to be like Beth and work with children while adding to your family's income, call Carolyn at 440-781-7531. And of course, if you are in need of that special person to watch your precious one, the number is the same, 440-781-7531. Again, if you love children and would like to find out about the opportunities that are waiting for you as a professional nanny, Call her one more time, 440-781-7531, and ask for Carolyn.
All right.
All right.
Nannies are in demand again.
Oh, yes, and they should be.
Yes.
I mean, we can't take chances with our precious ones.
That's right.
Just anybody.
What if they turn out like Mary Poppins, though? Then you got it.
Oh, wow.
Okay. No. No, because they're certified. That wouldn't happen.
That's right. Okay. Anyway, what's wrong with Mary Poppins? I thought she was pretty good.
Oh, well, I don't
I don't know. I
thought she was pretty bizarre.
But we have a caller, and his name is James, and we want to say thank you for calling, James. What is your question?
Yes, hello there.
Hi
James.
Yeah, how you doing there?
Doing fine. What's your question, James?
Since you was talking about the end times, and a lot of people receive manipulation in the scriptures there, and they thinking everything is, with no problems there. It's Satan after the 1,000 years.
Yeah.
After the 1,000 years there, and Satan is released. They bound for 1,000 years, and Jesus will be on the earth with his children for 1,000 years. Way the scriptures is reading there, isn't 1,000 years as those saints? They will be tested again one more time after Satan is reigned on the earth after the 1,000 years, and the Archangel Michael bounds him for 1,000 years, and after 1,000 years, he comes on the earth there and for a little while for them 1,000 years to test those saints that
yes.
supposed to be Christians there, but God has them tested for one more time there.
Let me explain that in a little more detail. We are going to have a 1,000-year reign back on the earth after the tribulation period. The bride of Christ who leaves before the tribulation will be given resurrected bodies. We will be coming back with Jesus at the end of the 7 years, and we will be ruling and reigning from Jerusalem. Now, there will be still human beings on the earth at this time. There will be 144,000, and there will also be all the tribulation saints that did not die during that time. So they will repopulate the earth. Okay, and as time goes on, now we're talking 993 more years, as time goes on, they will expand out and they will migrate out to the outer parts, and it will be similar, except since the enemy is going to be chained up, Satan and his demons, they won't be able to say the devil made me do it. But the Bible's very clear that as long as you're human, you still kind of have a... you know, inherently weak, wicked heart.
Well, yeah, with a tendency to do...
Right, and we're not even positive that every single person after close to 1,000 years is going to accept the Messiah that will be in Jerusalem and maybe there way over in Saudi Arabia or something. We don't know the details. Some things are not crisp, but we do know that, according to Revelation, that he will allow Satan and his demons to come out for a little while to test those that maybe are... you know, not where they should be. And they will be given that opportunity to deny or accept him at that time. And then we'll be going into eternity right after the resurrection of the evil ones, the great white throne judgment. Okay? Does that help you?
Yeah, it does. There's no problem there. I just wanted to, you know, emphasize some little points that I was reading here. And wouldn't that be in the book of Jude, too, with the ones that was chained under the earth that's still right now? They will be coming out, and that would be a more drastically
yes, they're chained in Tartarus.
Even though the earth is full of sin now, but the book of Jude there, when Satan wants the rest of the demons that's chained on the earth there, that is in that area, would that match with the 1,000 years there?
At the end of 1,000 years, very possibly, that's very possible. It's also possible that they're a part of the locusts that come out in Revelation 9.
Yes.
They might be demonic spirits from Tartarus there, too. We're not real positive, but it ain't going to be pretty.
No. What about the ones that the names written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Everybody's name is already written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but those that know Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, and rejected them, that God has raised his Son from the dead there, their names will be blotted out. The Lamb's Book of Life, even though everybody's names is already there, but their names will be blotted out, the ones that reject them.
Yeah, there's a question as to whether everyone's name is already in there. I think you're referring to a scripture in Revelation. a little bit. The Catholic Church used to call their roster the Book of Life, by the way, and there's a lot of details in that. And if you want to email me this week and be real specific, I'll see if I can't answer that question after I find my scriptures and be able to explain it. But you're right about the Book of Life. Your name has to be in there in order to be saved.
And what about one more question now? What about the a lot of people, a lot of Christians there, and a lot of churches argue about that they see their when they are in heaven there, they see their parents or whoever it is looking at them, talking with them there, and telling them there that they'll be all right there, and looking over them, and God is telling them that have one of the missing angels to protect them, to guide them around, but it doesn't read in scriptures there, and even though that's even with that, that when Jesus said there will be no more tears, these family members was talking that if how you put this, no more tears.
Well, we know there will be no more tears in heaven.
Yes, there will be no more tears in heaven. There, that's true. There, but those that thinking that their family members know Jesus Christ, their Lord and their Savior, some of them manipulate their family, and they will argue there, say, I know my family members in heaven, and the scriptures say there, some of the family members that they think on earth that's in heaven, that's going to be in heaven now, they will be, they when they're, how you say this, when their names, and when they come to heaven, and once you die, and, oh, man, I'm trying to say this fair. I don't want to take much of the time.
Okay, just take a deep breath, James. It's okay. Take a deep breath here.
Those who, like God said, once upon a die, it's the judgment. And a lot of family members think there that on the earth there that everyone that they believe and know in their heart, even though they passed away or on their deathbed, know that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, some of the family members will say yes to manipulate them, and they know in their hearts there, and they're arguing down that they know they're in heaven, but when they find out they are not,
That will be painful.
And they're going to be sad. Yeah, you know, I don't have an answer for you there. I'm sure God will take care of it because he promises that he would, and maybe there just really won't be memory of that. That's the only
maybe
thing
that's
I can,
the part
you know,
of
just,
a part of wiping away every tear.
Yeah, we just somehow get rid of the memory of that because he won't let us be sad.
Understandable.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I appreciate you calling in, James. Thanks for listening.
James, can you email a quest? Can you do emails?
Feel free to.
Yep. Please do.
I sure will, dear. If I have the questions asked, dear, I'll put it on the email, dear, because I got a couple more in my head, dear.
Okay.
I'm sure you do.
Okay, that's great.
You have a great day today, James.
But, you know, a lot of people that's in the church, dear, and other people I walk up to and talk to, dear, they argue. They God said reason with them, but a lot of people don't reason no more. They have to argue down, and they know what they know in the scriptures. That they'll read, like some pastors in the church will read. You hear them read the word of the scriptures. They'll read 1, 2, 3, and 4, 5, and leave 7, 8, 9, and 10, 11 out.
Absolutely, I understand totally, and that's why I'm always saying
they don't fulfill every answer and question while you're reading it. It goes into another question for an answer there, but they say this is the way we do it.
Well, see, that's why we were teaching that take the full counsel of God. That means from Genesis all the way to maps.
Amen.
So you have a great one. We're gonna move on. We got to talk to we're gonna talk a little bit more about the resurrection.
Listen, James, I think you'll enjoy this.
Yes.
Bye bye. Okay, John. Well, let's talk about this because again, I had heard on Wednesday night from the man that believes that we're going to be here for the tribulation, actually quote in Revelation. Now, before we get in there about the resurrection, let me explain it first, and then we'll read about it, okay?
Okay.
First of all, there's two major resurrections. There's the resurrection for the righteous, and there's the resurrection for the unrighteous, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the Bible, though, sometimes it's called the first resurrection, which just is an idiom for the righteous resurrection. It means first meaning good or above, you know, that kind of thing. Then the last resurrection is an idiom for the unrighteous. That is actually going to take place at the end of the millennial kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
It is called the Great White Throne Judgment.
Okay
so let's keep that in perspective. Two major resurrections.
Two major resurrections.
The first and the last.
But I know there's more.
But this is easy. You know, if you think about it this way. The first resurrection, which is for the righteous, has three different phases.
Ah.
Okay.
Okay.
At least three. There's talk that there might be four. I'm not going to go there because it's not Christmas.
But since it is an idiom for the resurrection of the righteous, mm-hmm. so.
Right.
Okay.
So the first was, of course, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He was called the first fruits of the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, other people were resurrected during that time, remember? About 500 of them.
Yes.
Okay, so that was phase one.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's going to be another resurrection that Paul talks about. And Corinthians and Thessalonians, that if you happen to be alive at the time of this resurrection, then you get to go too.
And that would be a...
Called a rapture.
Called a rapture.
If you want to call it that, I don't care what you call it.
It's really,
you know,
the
people
resurrection.
People have said to me, oh, the word rapture's not even in the Bible. And I go, its description is there. And actually, if you read the Latin Vulgate, it does say
rapture.
I think it's raptural or raptime or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's phase two, the one that I'm waiting for. Okay.
Yes.
And then at the end of the tribulation, there's going to be a resurrection for the martyred saints, the ones that actually have given their lives during the tribulation. And they're waiting under the altar during the tribulation for their resurrection.
Okay.
When they also get judged and are given their rewards.
So the resurrection of the righteous
mm-hmm.
takes place in at least three phases that occur over a period of time of 1,000 years. Am I right?
No.
Oh, no, over a period of 7 years. I'm sorry.
Actually, Jesus
I meant to say
was
7 years.
Raised 2,000 years ago.
Okay, so, you throw
right,
that in
Jeff,
there.
That's okay.
But the second parts will take place at the beginning and at the end of the tribulation.
You're right.
Okay.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
I know
Let's
you
look
are.
Look at the scripture. To confirm at least part of what I've just said, and that's in 1 Corinthians 15, 23.
I had that once.
I know I did too. And I lost it somehow.
Ah.
Here we go. 1 Corinthians 15. Actually, let's read verses.
Yeah, I do have it.
All right, let's read verse 20 through 23.
Okay. But the fact is that the Messiah has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. For since death came through a man, also the resurrection of the dead has come through a man. For just as in connection with Adam all die, so in connection with the Messiah all will be made alive, but each in his own order.
That's the key.
There you go. The Messiah is the first fruits. Then those who belong to the Messiah at the time of his coming, then the culmination when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father.
Right, that's the martyred saints.
That's the martyred saints. All right.
Okay, so now let's turn to Revelation, and I'll show you what was read the other night and where the confusion can come in.
Oh.
I have to talk fast because we only have 4 minutes.
Ooh. We can do it.
I know we can. Yay. All right, we're talking where Satan is bound in chapter 20.
Okay.
And I'm going to start in verse 3.
Right.
And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should be deceiving the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. Okay, we just talked about that.
Yes.
And John says in verse 4 that he saw thrones now. Again, this is right at the end of the tribulation. He saw the thrones, and he had a vision here, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. We're talking about the martyred saints. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received this mark on their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for the remainder of the 1,000 years. Okay?
Okay.
Now, the next sentence is just a parenthetical, so you can put a parenthesis around it. It says, but the rest of the dead, talking about the unrighteous, did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. And, of course, that would be the great right throne in the resurrection.
Okay.
Now, this last part, it says, this is the first resurrection. Actually goes back to the end of verse 4. It says, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. This is the first resurrection. It is part 3, phase 3 of the first resurrection. And he says in verse 6, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Again, that's an idiom for the resurrection of
the righteous. Yes.
And so they were reading this and saying, see, we're going to be here for the tribulation, and here's the first resurrection. Totally wrong. Not even thinking about Jesus being the first fruits of the resurrection.
Yes, if you read that, if you read those verses in that passage over a few times, it'll come. You'll see it. That mm-hmm. This is this verse 5 is a parenthetical statement, and it's not referring to the verse 4.
No, before, it isn't. It just happens to tell you there's going to be another resurrection.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Well.
So that's where some confusion comes in, but. We have studied it, and we are passing it along to you.
And again, I think it's important to remember to go to my webpage, listen to it again, and you can pause it, chew on it, study it, and I hope it'll be a benefit to you.
Well, okay. That's great. And
good show.
Yes, it was, and I do think we covered some things that really, really are important. And, if you have a question, let me remind you, if you have a question for Sheila, or if you would like her to speak at your church or home group, just email her at Sheila, that's spelled S-H-E-I-L-A, at shofarministries.net. Any and all donations are extremely important and vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. Please consider being a partner in this endeavor. Use PayPal or send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton 44021. Yevrekeka Adonai v'yishmarecha, ya'er Adonai panav elecha vihunecha, yisa Adonai panav elecha, v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next week, sha'alu shalom, Yerushalem.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper.
Not maybe. Shall. See you next week.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford at the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Saturday at 1 p.m. for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.